Go to chapter 56, and we'll continue our series. Thank you again, Crystal, for that. I did not warn her this week, and I should have. Matter of fact, it didn't occur to me until I was on the stage. I thought, we got to go over that psalm again and make sure we get that down. And I enjoy singing scripture songs, and I hope to just kind of bring that into our Wednesday night services, and we'll learn them. And so we'll sing them a few times over like that each week, and just help you learn them. And my prayer and my hope is that tomorrow morning you'll wake up singing "Sweeter Also Than Honey and the Honeycomb," and you'll be thinking of Scripture. What a good way to wake up. What a good way to go through your day with the Word of God on your mind. All right. And these were intended to be sung. The Bible says in the New Testament, sing psalms. That's what those are. And hymns. That's what those are. And spiritual songs. And so that's what we want to do is have a little bit of all of that. All right. Psalm 56. And we're going to read two verses, and I want to preach this evening on managing fear, managing fear. Psalm 56, verse number 3, this is also a scripture song, we're not going to sing it tonight, but it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Boy, what a great verse. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Look with me in verse number 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." What a great verse. Those two verses, I believe, are the key verses. And they really sum up chapter 56. And that's really what we're going to be looking at this evening, managing our fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you just for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be gathered in your house. God, I pray that you would use me this evening. God, I pray that you would speak through me. God, I pray that you would touch hearts as only you can. And Father, I pray that as we look at this chapter and we think about this idea of fear, God, I pray that we would not be dominated by fear. And Father, we'll thank you for that. And God, we'll give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You'll notice in the title of the psalm that it is a psalm of David. Specifically, when he was with the Philistines there in Gath. You remember we talked a little bit about that last week. Nope, it's been a couple weeks ago. But anyways, it was not last week. I just looked at the last chapter and that was not it. But anyways, when he did go into Gath, and you remember that. And so this was written around that time, probably shortly thereafter or shortly close to that at least. And I find a few things interesting in this chapter. But when I think of David, one thing that I do not think of is fearful. When you think of David, what are some of the things that you think of? Anybody want to give one? Just a thought. When you think of David, go ahead, Chris. Strength. Okay. What's another thing you think of, Jack? Bravery. All right. What's another thing you think of when you think of David? Youth. That's a good one. Yep. With youth goes strength. I know we kind of put those two together. Anybody else? Yeah. Ruth. His love for God. All right. His defeat of Goliath. That's one of the first things, at least in my mind, that comes to mind is the giant slayer, you know. And that's certainly true. And those things that were mentioned are true. Notice the words that were mentioned there are bravery, strength, youth, his love for God, his slaying of the giant. And I put down just a few things, and that was the first thing. I think of a giant killer. I think of him slaying the bear, and I think of him slaying the lion as a young person. And to me, that's pretty awesome to think that he would have done that. And then to think of, when I think of him, I also think of a great warrior. I think of a brave king. He was a soldier. He was a man of war. There's no doubt about it. Yet through it all, we find that warriors, victorious, brave warriors, have fear. That's what I thought of when I read that. And if they have fear, and they do, how is it managed? And how can we be victorious overcomers as they are. And David clearly lays that out for us in this text. And he gives us some help in this psalm. Psalm 56 is divided into two parts. And this is not part of my outline, but you can see it very clearly. Verses 1 through 7 is David's plight and the problem that he has. And then verses 8 through 13 is David's praise. And that's very clear throughout the text as you read it. But we're not going to look at those two things. I want us to look at the truth that he gives us throughout this psalm in managing our fear. Notice with me the first few things that we see here in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." Notice with me the first two verses at least, and there's more to them, but notice with me the foe that is against David. We see that very clearly. He has an enemy and he has a foe. And I want you to notice this about the enemy. As we read just those two verses, it stands out to me. In verse number 1, it says, "He daily oppresseth me." And there's a daily oppression from the foe on David. And listen, some people make it their daily effort to hurt their enemies. I couldn't imagine living like that, to be honest with you. I guess that's not me. That's just not who I am. But I couldn't imagine just getting up in the morning with this vengeance, with this axe to grind, with this anger, with this, I want to see what I can do to cause this person to fail today, or to see this person injured or hurt or paid back. And listen, I understand that some people have been hurt, and I understand vengeance, but I can tell you this, that forgiveness is necessary. It has to be. Because I tell you what, if you live your life that way, that's no way to live your life. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But I'm just telling you that David faced enemies that the Bible says daily oppressed him. They were constantly trying to cause him problems. Notice in verse number 2, he says the same thing. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up." In other words, hey, every day they would desire to see David destroyed and devoured and absolutely gone off of this earth. That's a daily thing for him. Boy, I don't know about you, but I've not been pursued on a daily basis, I don't believe. But, I've had some things here or there throughout my lifetime, but I don't think I've ever been oppressed quite like David has been oppressed here. And on a daily basis, they're after him. Notice with me in verse number 5. "Every day they rest my words." What does that word "rest" mean? The word "rest" means to turn or to twist. And so every day they're twisting or turning his words, and they're trying to make him look like he is the bad guy and that he has done something wrong. And so they are the idea there that we see in verse number 5 is that it's this daily grind that is on top of him, that they are constantly out to get David. And everything that he says and everything that he does, he has to be careful on a daily basis, because there's this oppression from his foes on a daily basis. Notice this, not only the daily oppression of his foes, but I want you to notice this. I put down the word "dozens" because we don't know how many there were. But notice with me in verse number 2, the Bible says, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up." There's more than one. It's not just a singular attack against David. It's not just one person that would come after him and desire to cause him problems. But there are many people that are after David. And we find that it's pluralized there. Notice with me in verse number 6, because it says this: "They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul." And we see that it's a concerted effort. And we see dozens of them. I don't know how many there are. The Bible just gives us a plurality of people that are attacking David and those that are going after him. And they're not only that, but they're working together in trying to cause David to fall. Boy, that's a tough place to be. And just note that David has a very formidable foe that is daily oppressing him with dozens of people that are involved and trying to, they've joined together in a singular effort to cause one man to fall in the world. Boy, what a sorry place David's at in his life. He has a foe and he has daily oppression and dozens, we don't know how many, but many of them that were after him. And notice their determination in verse number 2. Again, verse number 2 is very clear. It says, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. But notice this, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. And they would swallow him up. We mentioned that earlier, that he would be destroyed and they fight against him. Notice in verse number 6, all the words that describe how they go after him, the determination, they gather themselves together. We talked about that, the dozens. But notice this, they hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. And they're constantly watching him. They're looking for that opportunity that maybe he's alone. They're looking for that opportunity that they could attack him. Or they're looking for somewhere that he's going to mess up in the place that he goes or the direction that he takes in his life. And he knows that he's constantly being observed and watched and monitored. And there's people out there that are simply out there to get him and to destroy him. And that's the intent of the foe. And you look at all of that and you say, boy, David had a serious problem. There's no doubt about it. And let me just state this, that we too face a foe. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you may not be going to work tomorrow looking over your shoulder saying, man, somebody's out to get me. Physically speaking, David was. This is all very physical for David. This is a very real circumstance for David. And that everywhere he did go, he did have to look over his shoulder. It was not a spiritual thing. It was a very physical thing. But for us, understand this. There is a spiritual enemy. And spiritually speaking, you ought to be looking over your shoulder all the time. You ought to be very careful as David was. This is a physical thing. When I was a missionary, they taught us to be very, very, very careful about everything that we did. We went through many, many classes, and some of them were security. And my wife says I'm paranoid, so I didn't need more security classes on top of that. But I remember going through the classes, and one of the things they said, because missionaries back when I was a missionary, we would go to the ATM machine a lot. That's how you got your cash. That was just the way to do it. I didn't have a bank account per se in Peru. I just went to the ATM and I took my card. Well, when you do that, people are watching you, especially in many countries. And so they would tell us, they would teach us, they said, hey, make sure you don't go to the ATM on the same day at the same hour, week after week after week, because people are going to notice your pattern and they're going to rob from you. It's just a fact of life. And so they would say stuff like, vary your routes that you go to the ATM, vary the times that you would go to the ATM, vary your ATMs that you would visit, and just be very careful about all of those things. And so we would learn to do that as missionaries. And thank God, God always kept us safe. You use your brain, but you trust in the Lord. We understand that. And God is the one that keeps us safe. But I am saying this, that, hey, listen, it would do us well to recognize that we do have an enemy that is observing our life, that is looking for weaknesses, that is waiting for that time that he can attack, and what he desires to do is devour and destroy Christian people. And that's you just as much as me. And I'm just saying that we need to be careful. We need to be observant. We do have a foe. We live in a relatively safe place. Most of us don't have the fear of looking over our shoulder for this or that. And I hope and pray you lock your doors. You ought to at least do that. Amen. But relatively, we're generally pretty safe. But spiritually, we're never safe. Not until we get to heaven. And we ought to be aware that we do have a foe. We see David had a physical foe. And I'm grateful maybe you do have a physical foe. But David certainly had a physical foe. Look with me also here. And this stands out in verse number 3. He says, "What time I am afraid." That amazes me, because in the introduction we looked at all the things that we observe about David. And David, one of the descriptors, one of the adjectives that I would really probably never think of if I'm thinking of David, is fear. That's not one of the things that would come to my mind. He's a man of war. He was the giant slayer, as we said. And so I read this a few times and it dawned on me, and I read that verse, "What time I am afraid." And I thought to myself, David had fear in his life. That's not something that you would expect from David. And so I focused on that word and started looking at that word. Matter of fact, the word fear or afraid appears 81 times in the Psalms. And so I just got curious and looked them all up and read through them all, because I was like, hey, how many times does David actually say that he is afraid? Now, I limited it to the scope of Psalms, so maybe you could find other examples. But if you do, I can tell you this, there'll be very few and far between, because in the book of Psalms, 81 times the words fear or afraid are used, and 43 times the word fear is used or afraid is used. It's used in reference to God, and not a fear as in being, oh, I'm scared of God. No, a fear as in a respect and an awe of who God is. And sometimes he's saying, hey, they ought to fear God. They ought to have the fear of God in their life. And so very few times, I think I counted 3 or 4 times, does the psalmist admit he is afraid or had fear. Out of all the verses in Psalms and out of all the uses of the words fear and afraid, and not everything expresses or shows fear, that in all of those instances, but very few times, just those 3 or 4 times, do we have that the psalmist himself, David, would admit, "What time I am afraid." And I put down there the fear, but then we have the time of fear. And listen, we have a brave, valiant warrior who confronts his times of fear. And in reality, every person is going to have a time in their life that they may be fearful. And some more, some less. Your life is all, everyone's life is going to be different. Everyone's life circumstances are going to be different. But I am telling you this, that if David, being as the soldier that he was, being the hardened man that he was, had times of fear, then I can assure you that we too will face times of fear in our life. And listen, when those times of fear come, he'll give us some things that we should do. But I want to note the time of fear. David was physically surrounded by enemies. And I could only imagine, and I think David was partially crazy. And I heard it once said that that faith is a fine line. It's like walking a tightrope where one side is trust in God and the other side is utter foolishness. And so there's a fine line between faith and foolishness, and maintaining that line sometimes gets a little blurry. But I think of David even going off with those men up to Gath, up to the Philistines' camp. And I thought to myself, there was plenty of Philistines. I mean, they could have just turned on him right then and there and killed David and got their revenge for Goliath, because that was all fresh on their mind. They were very much so aware of who David was, but they did not do that. And so I would imagine that would have been a very fearful time for David walking into the camp of the Philistines with the men of Gath. But nonetheless, that's what he did. And I want you to notice this about our times of fear. Sometimes we would think, man, I wish we did not have fear in our lives. But listen, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. The reality is, there are trials, there are difficulties in our life that will result in fear. And when I say fear, maybe not trembling, but just the unknown of what is going to take place. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know. How are we going to get through this? Well, I don't know. What's on the other side of this? Well, I don't know. And that fear can be a concern for not knowing what the next step is, or what the next what's on beyond that door. But the Bible tells us not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But he says this, it goes on, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We read about great miracles in the Old Testament all the time. You think about Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. You think about David and the slaying of Goliath. You think about Daniel in the lion's den. You think about the three Hebrew children are thrown into the fiery furnace. You think about Joseph and his life and the many difficulties that he faced. And many of them are many shining examples. And many times we're like, man, I want to be like that guy. But we don't want to walk the trail that they took to get to those places, because those were fiery trials. Those were things in their life that brought them to that place of greatness. There were many small trials, many uncertainties that they faced over and over and over again in their life before God ever brought them to a larger platform where something grand took place. And so we look at those times of testing, and God allows trials to grow our faith. Maybe a trial for you is something small, or maybe it's something large, but maybe for somebody else it's something small. Listen, don't mock that person for where they're at. That's a big step for them. And every person has to take their step, and every person has to grow in their faith. And so we find in the fear, there's a time of fear and there's testing in fear. But notice this in verse number 3, because I love this. He says this, what time I am afraid. Notice what he says. I will trust in thee. One of the things, and this really dumps into our next point that we'll get to, but we're still under fear. Notice he turns to God. And that's really an important step. He says, I will trust in thee. Determination to trust in God when all looks hopeless is far easier said than done. It's easy to tell somebody, well, just trust in the Lord. It's easy to quote that verse in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And it's really easy to tell people that. But I tell you what, it's hard to live that when you're the one that's in that trial, when you're the one that's in that time of testing, when you're that one that has that time of fear in your life. And I'm just saying that I like David because he turned to God. Notice in verse number 4, he said, "In God I will praise His word." We're going to look at this a little more, but notice in turning to God, he determined that he would turn to God. And the second thing that we notice is that, listen, there was time in his word. I tell you what, it was said to me just tonight. You ever get down, you ever get discouraged, you know where to go? The word of God. Amen. You find comfort, you find peace, you find help. You find advice, you find wisdom from the Word of God. And David said here in verse number 4, "In God I will praise His Word." We see that he turned to God. We see the foe, we see the fear. Notice with me the faith in verse number 8. Look with me there in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." What an amazing two verses right there. Verses 8 and 9, in faith we have prayer going to God. Hey, listen, we have got to go to God in prayer. He says in verse number 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings." God knows where you have been and the difficulty of the way. I might not know. I might not understand all the things that you go through. I might not understand, be able to wrap my head around the difficulties that you face or the fears that you may have or why you may have them. But I can tell you this, that God can and does understand where you have been. Because he's seen all your wanderings. He knows what your life consists of. He knows what is in your life. And he pays attention to every part of the wanderings. Notice the weeping in verses 8 and 9. We have here, I love this. Again, I'm going to relate to the warrior, the king, the shepherd, the brave, the victorious. And what is he doing? He's crying. He's pouring out his heart to God. Listen, it's not... I'm not much of a crier, but I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with pouring out your heart to God and just going to Him and saying, "God, these are my problems. These are my difficulties. These are my foes. These are what they're determining against me. This is what they're doing." And just literally pouring out your heart to God. When was the last time that you just got alone with God and you just poured out your heart to Him? And you just talked with Him about things that are going on in your life. I'm not talking about, "Lord, bless us food, our bodies and nourishment. Lord, bless this day. Lord, help me to sleep." I'm talking about earnestly, sincerely spending time in prayer with God alone. David got to God. And he cried and he poured out his heart to God. I find this interesting, and I did not take the time to really look into it. But just notice there in verse number 8, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" What an amazing verse right there. And I did not study it all out. Just take note of that and notice that, hey, listen, God cares about what we care about. And the things that are important to us, listen, they're important to God when we take them to Him in prayer. And we bear our burdens to God. We find prayer in verses 8 and 9. And oh, how we need to spend time in prayer. Notice in verse number 10, the praise. Notice what he says there. And we pointed out in verse number 4, it tells very clearly, "In God I will praise His word." In verse number 4, look with me in verse 10. "In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word." And all those times, every time, it is about the book. No book has been more read, more beneficial, and more touching than the Word of God. It's a comfort to our hearts. Listen, the Word of God ought to be dear to us. And I'm not talking just reading the Word of God. I encourage you at our church, for years, we encourage you to read through the Word of God. Take your Bible reading and read through the Word of God. And that's important. That's good. But listen, I'm talking about it actually meaning something to you. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God. I'm talking about when your soul is weary and when your heart is discouraged and when things have not gone your way. Go to the Word of God and look for answers, because He gives us answers. He speaks to us through His Word. And we find that He praises God in His book. Listen, this book brings praise. Notice what it says. Psalm 19 and verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I don't know two other things that could be so practically compared to as gold. You know, men will climb mountains. Men will go treasure hunting. Men will dive to the depths of the sea. Men will go to all extents. Men will arm themselves so that they can get their hands on gold. And the Bible says, hey, this book is far more precious than gold. Right. So many times we have it and it just becomes commonplace to us. And we don't even recognize the value of it. Sweeter also than honey, the Bible says. Boy, I don't know about you, but I have a sweet tooth. I like sweet things. And I'm just saying, that's something that's desired. Kids and adults and people desire things that are sweet. Can I tell you something? There's nothing sweeter than the Word of God. It's something that you can go to and you can find great strength and great help. And David praised God because of the Word of God that brought joy to his heart, that gave him promises of the Word of God. And his faith was placed squarely in God. He poured out his heart in prayer to God. He poured over the Word of God and found praise and found reason to give glory to God. Notice in verse number 11, he says this: in God have I put my trust. Notice the second part: I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He placed his faith in God. You know what's natural? You know what's normal? At least for me. Maybe it's not for you. But for me, and I believe probably most adults, is that self-sufficiency. Well, I can do it. I know how to do this. I can get myself there. I can take care of myself. And to an extent, that's normal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. You ought to be self-sufficient. You ought to hit that point at your life where, hey, I'm going to go out and get a job. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my housing. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. And that self-sufficiency, that's a normal thing. God made us like that. But I'm telling you this, there are things in our life that God brings us to that we cannot solve without Him, so that we learn to trust in Him. And David said squarely, in God have I put my trust. He made a conscientious decision to say, listen, I am going to place my faith in God. And I'm not going to fear what man will do unto me. I'm not going to worry about what others can do to me. My faith is squarely placed in God. Look at verse number 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. We see the promises of God and the praise of God. Look with me in verse 13, because I love this thought. He says, for Thou, notice this, for Thou hast, that's past tense, delivered my soul from death. Just for one second, look with me there as we think about that. He's saying, the psalmist is saying, my soul is already delivered from death. I don't fear what death can do to me, in other words, is what he's saying. My soul is already rescued. I've been saved, you could say it that way. I'm not concerned about my soul because I entrust it to God. Look what he says in the next phrase. Then he says, "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" And listen, many Christians, this is where we are at, is that, hey, we're saved. If I run around and I ask, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? Yes, Pastor, I know the Lord. And I'm 100% for sure that I would go to heaven. And listen, that's wonderful. I'm grateful for that. And when that final day comes, the past couple of days I've been at the hospital and visiting and we're assured of this. And I praise God for that assurance that we know for sure what's on the other door, other side of death's door. We don't have to fear eternity because we have the promises of God. But I think David in the latter part of verse number 13 says this, "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" In other words, we trust God with eternity, but we don't trust God with our daily life. Are you going to keep my foot from slipping? What about this? What about this? And what about this step? And what about this direction? And stepping out by faith is not easy. And stepping out by faith can be challenging. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes we trust God with eternity. We trust God with our soul. But yet, the step of faith to take one step here, one step there, we find so difficult in our life. And I think David nailed that in verse 13. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" We can trust in God. How do we manage our fear? Those last few things that David put: prayer, praise, finding the Word of God, and finding the promises and finding the praise of God, and then placing your faith squarely in God and recognizing, God, I'm just going to trust in you and I'm going to seek you in this direction of my life, and placing your faith squarely upon God. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, managing our fears, everyone will face fear at some time. It's not wrong to have fear. God gave us fear to protect us. It's an emotion that God gave with us. It's not necessarily wrong, but we certainly should not allow it to control or dominate our life. Father, I pray, as we look at the psalm, and God, we see the psalmist, a mighty man, a warrior, a brave, strong man, a king, somebody who killed a giant, a lion and a bear. God, that had fear in his life. And God, undoubtedly, we too will have fear in our life. And we too will have to face our fears. And God, I pray that when those days come, and I pray, God, that when we do face those trials and those struggles in our life, God, will think of those three things: prayer, going straight to you. God, praise and finding you in the Word of God and praising you in the Word of God. And then squarely placing our trust in you. God, I pray that you'd encourage, bless, and strengthen each and every believer tonight. Well, thank you for that. God, I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As the